السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، والحمد لله حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الأمين وآله الطيبين وصحابته الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. After that introduction that I do not deserve, I have to say اللهم اجعلني خيرا مما يظنون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون. يا الله، let me be better than what they think of me, and forgive me that which they do not know of me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam's mission, if it were to be summarized in one word, then it would be to demonstrate for us and to lead us on the way of the fulfillment of ubudiyyah to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Allah Azza wa Jal ascertained in very direct, explicit, and very powerful, simple statement the very purpose for which we were created, when He Azza wa Jalla said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah azza wa jal indicates in this ayah, came to help us walk on the course of the purpose for which we were created. Where Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran what means, and I created jinns and humans for the only purpose to fulfill ubudiyyah to me. And I do not like to translate it as worship, for many times the word worship is also misunderstood, and what its implications are misunderstood and may not be as inclusive as and as generic as the word تحقيق العبودية لله عز وجل. And تحقيق العبودية, or the fulfillment of عبودية to Allah عز وجل, is achieved when قصد المخلوق يصير تبعا لقصد الخالق. When the intent and objective of the creature becomes subservient to the intent and objective of the Creator. And that's generically what is ubudiyyah to Allah Azza wa Jal. And therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, every action I commit or omit, every word I utter or harbor, every thought I conceal or express, I must always ask myself, does it or does it not fulfill the criterion of ubudiyyah? Is it as I design it in my qalb and then in my heart, is it consistent with what Allah Azza wa Jal intended? And therefore, every thought of mine and every action of mine, with all my senses and with all my heart, are to be gauged with this question. هل قصدي فيما أنا مقدم عليه من عمل هل هو تبع لقصد الله عز وجل أم ليس كذلك؟ Is my qasd, is my intent and intention subservient to the intent of Allah Azza wa Jal or not? In every action, until we reach perhaps the level of consciousness where every beat of our qalb is observed under that test. And within this ubudiyah that we are meant to fulfill, and I must remind myself and you, my dear brothers and sisters, that the equation of life is very simple. We oftentimes sophisticate it and complicate it unnecessarily in order to escape the truth and the simple truth and the truth of simplicity. And that equation is, in this dunya, we act. And then the outcome is Jannah or Nar. That's it. The outcome is Jannah or Nar. Paradise, loosely translated, and Nar, hell, is the outcome of the equation of life. Yet don't you agree that oftentimes we complicate it and we obscure it and we make it ambiguous by our sometimes sophistications and excess of rationalizations until that equation becomes so complicated and so obscured that we are drawn in a rat race in life of everything else except having in our minds and in our hearts Jannah or Nar as the outcome. And within this fulfillment of ubudiyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described a path. A path and a fruit of pursuing ubudiyah to Allah azza wa jal. And the path of that and the fruit of that, which is a path and a fruit, makarimul akhlaq, excellence in akhlaq, is the way and the fruit and the consequence. For Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, which means, and you, O Muhammad, you are upon a great state of akhlaq. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summarizes his mission in one word by saying the hadith that many of you know and all of us must know, innama bu'ithtu لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Please memorize that. Is it difficult to memorize? Some of you have already memorized it, I presume. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ, say it with me, لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مكارم الأخلاق. Let's see if we can say it in one breath. إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. Which means I have surely been sent only. Innama, tufidul hasr, in the Arabic grammar. I have been surely sent only to complete the most excellent ways of akhlaq. That is my mission, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, in order to help us as means and fruit of undertaking the journey of ubudiyah to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that journey of ubudiyah, my brothers and sisters, everyone must take. Every human being must take. Those of us may take that journey consciously and willfully. Others will never do that, unfortunately. And the day, I must remind myself and you, the day we were born to die. Anyone challenges this truth? Subhanallah. Please reflect on this. The day we were born to die. That is khuluq number one to keep in mind. I was born to die. I was brought into this world in order to go on a journey back home. And I want to go back home. For home is Jannah. That is where my father and mother originated, in Jannah. And then something happened. And we left home. And Allah Azza wa Jal set an instinct in us, a desire in every human being, to go back home safely. And the only way to go back home safely is to attain a level of akhlaq, and I shall explain what akhlaq mean, that will enable us to change our nafs that had lowered itself and left home. It has rebelled. It has gone low and became earthly, so it couldn't stay in the heavenly home. Yet Allah, out of His rahmah, wanted us back and gave us a chance. Correct that nafs. Remedy that nafs. Rectify that nafs. And then you will be able to come back home safely again. And this time, forever. So the story of life and the mission, therefore, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is to enable us to rectify the nafs properly so that we are able to return home. An akhlaq is the plural of khuluq in the Arabic language. And khuluq and khalq in the Arabic language, as you can hear, sound the same. Khalq and khuluq. And this language is very, very special. This is the Quranic language. Al-khalq in the Arabic language means what? In one word, your physical appearance, your external image. That's your khalq. And then your khuluq is your internal image. Is your internal image. And the plural is akhlaq. And therefore, khuluq and beautiful khuluq has to do with beautifying our inner image. Our nafs, to rectify the nafs, to beautify the nafs in order that it became, in order that it becomes worthy of being home again. To beautify our inner images, to cleanse and to purify our inner images. Yet, oftentimes, humankind, and many of us as Muslims as well, especially in a world culture such as this one of consumerism, one of immediacy, one of individualism, one of appearances, one of deception sometimes. We are all interested in an external image, aren't we? We beautify ourselves physically. Nowadays, you all know there is the, if you will, the craze or the tendency of being health conscious. And all types of medications are administered, and all types of instructions by specialists and experts and doctors of the physical bodies are given to us in order to keep up with our concerns for our physical health and beauty. And those who want that health and that physical beauty, they endure the bitterness of hardship. We endure the bitterness of taking bitter medication. We endure the hardship of having limbs perhaps extracted in order to improve in our physical image. And we take showers every day in this country, mashallah, a shower every morning and a shower every evening because we have plenty of water. And if someone does not take a shower regularly every day, then that person is said to be not clean. Isn't it true? And some of us joke, of course. Some people joke, and when their friend would say, oh, I didn't take a shower today or for 2 days or a week, then a person does this. We stink, in other words, physically. And the physical stink can be discerned by the physical olfactory properties and functions, by the physical nose, and it can be perceived by the physical eye. Yet oftentimes we do not take a morning spiritual shower, a nafs shower, to cleanse the nafs every morning and every evening. No, we don't do that every day. Many of us don't do it every week. Many of us don't do it every year. Many of us have not yet taken a nafs shower or a spiritual shower for years. And forgive me, we stink. But that smell that comes, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our early ulama, they speak of these things. I'm just trying to be very brief in my presentation. That smell that emanates from the psychological filth, from the nafs filth, and the filth of the nafs is what? Is its hawa. Is when we follow the nafs and we give the nafs what it wants. And therefore we are led to the commission of dhunub, of violations, of sins, of disobediences against Allah, against Rasulullah, against ourselves. And those dhunub are impurities, are contaminants, are pollutants of our nafs and of our qulub, of our hearts. And those pollutants, as long as they remain and reside in our hearts and in our anfus, we shall never make it back home. Never. Very unsuccessfully the trip will be. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission was in order to rectify and remedy the nafs, in order that it comes back to Allah azza wa jal in peace and in serenity and in a state of stability and in a state of balance, and thus in a state of tuma'nina. And that is what an-nafs al-mutma'inna is. Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyah fadkhuli fi 'ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna. Satisfied and peaceful and balanced nafs, return to your Rabb. Radiyah, mardiyah. Radiyah, satisfied, and made satisfied. and enter into my Jannah. Come back home. Enter amongst my ibad in the presence of the most divine, Allah Azza wa Jal. And my nafs, my dear brothers and sisters, will not ever attain any level close to tuma'nina if I am not aware of the daran, of the impurities, and of the contaminants and of the pollutants that cover it and veil it, so that I am able to remove them. As I try to be in this world of consumerism and of immediacy and of appearances, and I'm not saying we should not. It is a matter of relationships. It's a matter of nisab, of proportions. It's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of coefficients. The coefficient I multiply with my concern of physical cleanliness and external beauty, I think in our lives is much, much, much higher than the coefficient, if it exists, if it's not zero, with which I multiply my concern for my inner image and the cleanliness of my inner nafs and of my qalb. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal says, only the qalb that reaches Allah in a state of atma'nan, in a state of inaba, is the qalb that will be satisfied in the presence of Allah Azza wa Jal. And thus the mission of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ When we let our nafs get what it wants, we are going on a very serious downhill journey during which we lose the energies needed to help us in a journey upward, the heavenly journey to Allah Azza wa Jal. And to understand this concept, and that it is a factual concept, Allah Azza wa Jal created laws for us. Remember, the laws of the universe, even the physical laws of the universe, whose laws are they? Huh? Allah's laws, right? We only discover them, and by the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, the human mind even writes them in what we call eloquent, simple equations in different languages in accordance to different conventions. But most of us never graduate, and we look at the physical world as a physical world detached from its creator and detached from the other world, the world of akhirah, the world of akhlaq, the world of ar-rawhaniyat. And we don't link the two together at all, never until we die. And when we don't do that, we shall never taste in this dunya the greatest of all the pleasures of this dunya even. The people of this dunya, as one person had said, one early scholar had said, rahimahullah, the people of this dunya whose objectives in this dunya were more of the happiness in this dunya, said, never attained the greatest happiness of this dunya. And what was it? الشوق والأنس إلى الله عز وجل. There is a jannah in this dunya, said another alim, Ibn al-Qayyim, I believe, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Ibn Taymiyyah. There is a jannah in this dunya. Whosoever does not enter it or had never tasted of it will never enter the jannah of the other world. What is the jannah in this world? Subhanallah, the sweetness that comes in the qalb, the happiness that comes in the qalb that is not expressed in, sometimes in words. The happiness, the sa'ada of the qalb, the ladha of the qalb, the na'im of the qalb, the sweetness and the delight in the qalb of longing for Allah Azza wa Jal. Jannah in this dunya. He who or she who never tasted it says, or say many ulama of old radiallahu ta'ala anhum, will never enter that other Jannah. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا, says Allah Azza wa Jal. And he who or she who in this dunya was blind, then in the life to come will be even more blind and more lost. I was speaking of that physical dimension versus that spiritual dimension of the nafs, because we're speaking of akhlaq as the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and akhlaq, as we had early established as briefly as possible, is the inner image of ours versus the external image of ours. When we, in that physical world, many of you are scientists here or students of science, and you don't need much science to know this. You need physics 101 and basic mechanics. You know that when any physical object goes downward, downhill, on a downhill slope, what happens to its energy? Energy is comprised of what? Of two components. Total energy is the sum of what energies? Yes. Potential energy and kinetic energy, right? When we go downhill, what happens to the potential energy? It decreases. We lose potential energy when we go downhill. And the lower we go, the more physical potential energy we misuse, we lose into kinetic energy, that violent energy. Isn't it true? It's a fact of science. It's a law of Allah Azza wa Jal in the physical world. And you also know that when we go uphill, when we walk uphill, what happens to that same energy? The potential energy? It increases. As we go upward, we build physical potential energy that is needed to walk straight. And some of us wasted going downhill. They wasted going downhill. You develop physical potential energy by going uphill, and you're going to lose it if you go downhill. And this is a law of Allah Azza wa Jal. To point out to something else, this is how a Muslim alim should think. Muslim scientist should reflect. Because then, subhanAllah, after learning about what Allah says, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what the Sahaba have said, what the early Salaf have said, what the early ulama have said and practiced pertaining to the nafs, then everything comes into place. And therefore, my nafs, which is not in the physical world, and not the physical realm, not the four-dimensional realm, it is in a nafsani realm, in a supra-dimensional universe, if you will. And the world of the ruh is, you know, is immaterial. It is not bound by space and time. And then how does the nafs go downhill? Does it walk downhill in a physical world? See, the field of the nafs, in scientific terms, is not the field of a massive object. A field of a massive object is space-time. A field of a nafsani object or entity is something called the rawhani world. Cannot be perceived physically speaking. In that world, the nafs goes downhill, as the Quran teaches us and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, goes downhill by indulging the nafs in the shahwat. Every time I give my nafs what it wants. I am going downhill. And the more, the steeper. And when the nafs goes downhill, it does not recover. It will recover by other means that if we have time, inshallah, we can talk about. But when the nafs goes downhill, it loses, therefore, spiritual potential energy. And therefore, we become unable. Did you feel that? Sometimes to stand against certain things we don't want to do. Because we have weakened. We have lost so much energy. We want to, but we can't. Just like that person who lost so much physical potential energy and then now cannot walk. His mind or her mind says, go ahead. But his body or her body cannot respond. And so we lose the potential, the spiritual potential energy. And that is the state of, again, ugly akhlaq. The state of a nafs that is qabih, ugly. An inner image that is ugly. And the ugliness continues as long as we continue to indulge more in the shahwat. Never returning through tawbah and beginning perhaps to rectify and to remedy. Until we develop a nafs that is very ugly, and thus we have a khuluq that is ugly. So we say the khuluq of this person is ugly because then the actions that are generated from that state of the nafs are simply an interpretation, a manifestation of the state of the nafs inside. And therefore we say, what an ugly action. What a despicable word. What a despicable activity that is despicable and ugly in the balance of the shara, in the balance of the shara, of the divine values. And then if we climb upward with the nafs, and the climb upward of the nafs is the cleansing process of the nafs, is trying to imbue the nafs with beautiful akhlaq. And to go against the nafs, and every time I go against my nafs, I build up spiritual potential energy. And therefore, al-anbiya alayhim salam, wa awliya'ullahi alayhim ridwanullah, who have taken this course and this path, their actions were most beautiful. And their actions became very natural, effortlessly, very easy, because they stemmed and they originated from a state of a nafs that is polished, that is beautified, that is very, very attractive. And then it produced external actions that is beautiful as well. And then because of that, because of the building of that spiritual potential energy, it makes actions, good actions, become easier. وَأَمَّا as in Surah Al-Layl, what does Allah Azza wa Jalla says? وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى وما خلق الذكر والأنثى إن سعيكم لشتى فأما من أعطى واتقى واتقى. This is the key word. وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. I'm going to begin with the second one because that's the downhill road. For that person, his path will be asir. The path, remember, back to Allah Azza wa Jal, the path of ubudiyah, the path of goodness and of good action will become difficult. Subhanallah. And that's going downhill. As we have established, on the physical world, and thus, as a plausible parallel argument on the spiritual world, then the good actions, أعمال الخير وأعمال طاعة الله عز وجل, كل تلك الأعمال تصير عسيرة على النفس التي تفضل أن تتبع شهواتها وأن تعصي الله عز وجل. Whereas فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى, and the opposite, the person who is in taqwa, and taqwa implies definitely a path out or upward against the nafs, for such who will make his or her path easier. We shall direct him or her. This person will find, in other words, doing good action, ta'a, ibadah, good things that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with, easier and easier and easier and easier. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the symbol of human perfectness, if you will, the actions, his actions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were so natural, and the good actions were so effortless, if you will, because his nafs had reached the level of itmi'nan. And therefore they say, al-khuluq, what is khuluq? Then I give you a definition of khuluq besides what we added, what we said now, a generic definition of khuluq, so that it is not anymore something ambiguous. And I shall come to that in a moment. If anybody needed the English translation of what I read, is it? Because I translated the meaning. I translated the overall meaning. I shall come to that, inshallah ta'ala, in a moment to close. Al-khuluq, therefore, huwa hay'atun lil-nafs. Look at this definition, subhanAllah, by early a'imma, rahimahumullah. Al-khuluq, therefore, becomes hay'atun lil-nafsi rasikhatun. Hay'atun, number one. Lil-nafsi rasikhatun. Consequently, تصدر عنها الأفعال بيسر وسهولة. تصدر عنها الأفعال بيسر وسهولة من غير حاجة إلى فكر وروية. فإذا كان الفعل حسنا سمي الخلق حسنا, وإذا كان الفعل قبيحا سمي الخلق قبيح. سمي الخلق قبيحة. What is it? هيئة, a state of the nafs. الخلق, this word أخلاق that we hear a lot about and we translate by conduct, by morality, by all of those words, what do they mean? It's a state of the nafs, a هيئة of the nafs, not of the physical person, but of the inner persona. A هيئة of the nafs, a state of the nafs. Rasikha. Rasikha. In other words, rooted. That state is, if you will, in a stable balance. It's a stable state, unperturbed. It is not in a transitory state anymore. It is rasikh now. Are you following me? Is this simple enough? It's a state of your inner self that has become stable. That's what you became. It is not in a transient state or in a restless state or in an ambiguous state or in a pseudo or meta state. But it is in a final, stable, deeply rooted state. And then تصدر عنها الأفعال. Actions are engendered by that state. The external action are engendered by that state with ease and facility, effortlessly. Whatever that action is, ugly or beautiful, it becomes easy. It comes with ease and with facility. Then a person who expresses anger easily when under pressure, then that's because his or her nafs, when it comes to the concept and to the meaning of anger, is in an angry state. And therefore anger comes uncontrollably. And that's a very natural response of a person whose khuluq is al-ghadab. A person whose khuluq is miserliness, is al-bukhl. His or her immediate response to please help me is no, I don't have. And then maybe he thinks or she thinks that, okay, I have something. That's a transitory state. That's a transient state. The person may be, inshallah, in a state of trying to remedy and rectify that state of bukhl and miserliness. So he responds later. Or she responds later. But a person whose khuluq is bukhl, the response is immediate. No, I don't have any. A person whose khuluq is kibr, for example, arrogance, to belittle others and to exalt self, then responds to situations with kibr naturally and effortlessly until you can see that reverberating with kibr waves on his face. You see that, subhanAllah, sometimes the face expresses kibr. You can see, some people can see by what Allah Azza wa Jalla imbued them with, kibr in the face of a person.
What is kibr again?
Arrogance, a word which means belittling the others, demeaning the rights of others, and exalting self above others. Of kibriya, inam. And so on. A person whose khuluq is, for example, haya, that golden characteristic of Islam, that defining khuluq of Islam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it, inna li kulli deenin khuluqa wa inna khuluqa al-islam al-haya. Says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every deen has a khuluq. Now you know the word khuluq. And here I'd like to translate it as the defining characteristic. Every deen has a defining characteristic. And the defining characteristic of Islam is al-haya. So you see a person who exhibits haya very naturally, subhanAllah, to situations, his or her life is filled with haya. Haya translated sometimes as modesty, humility, humbleness. All of those are not equal to haya. They are elements of haya, but they do not define the word haya. No way. So you find the person, subhanAllah, who exhibits haya very naturally, a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. Or perhaps through very serious and long-standing personal struggle with focus, finally attains the state of the khuluq of haya. And then it becomes an effortless state of the self. And you find the person's khuluq as being kareem. We say, this person is kareem, translated as generous or magnanimous. A person is kareem when al-karam, when generosity becomes a constant habit. Remember, a state of the nafs inside that shows itself outside. A person who is generous once or twice is not called kareem. Bisighat fa'il. We say that's an act of generosity. And if we say kareem, we say it only majazan. In other words, simply not in abstract, if you will, of the term kareem, we say for a person who has been once or twice kareem, simply as a majaz, as an extension of the word to a special circumstance. But that person is not kareem if one is occasionally generous. A person whose khuluq is al-karam is a person who is always kareem. And so on. So that is khuluq. And if the action that comes as a consequence of that state, again, my brothers and sisters, is an action that is deemed in the shara' beautiful, Then we say the khuluq is hasan. Hasan means beautiful. And then if the action that stems from that state of the nafs is ugly, we say the khuluq is ugly. It is time. And I have to stop. And inshallah, in this other day that we have together, we can go on and continue on part 2 and 3, if you will, inshallah ta'ala. And if you wanted, in the next day, we have together, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فإن أصبت فمن الله وحده وإن أخطأت فمن نفسي ومن جهلي ومن الشيطان أعوذ بالله أن أذكر به وأنساه والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.